You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
While drilling for natural gas in Marcellus Shale remains on hold in New York State, fractures have developed among the residents of the area over whether to drill and under what circumstances. Upstate landowners would see profits from leases and royalties from gas extracted on their land, and there's also the promise of jobs. But many residents want a ban on drilling. They're concerned about its potential environmental impact on the Catskills watershed and of the industrialization of rural lands that comes with drilling. Three upstate residents join me now to discuss what's happening in their areas and the decisions they have to make for their families and their land if drilling is allowed. Mark Dunow is an organic vegetable farmer from Hancock in Delaware County. Abby Tamber is a landowner from the town of Preston in Chenango County. And Jim Bays is a farmer and the town supervisor of Smyrna, also in Chenango County. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hi.
Mark, you own a 50-acre farm in the Catskills. What was your initial reaction to the idea of drilling for natural gas on your property?
Well, my initial reaction was to assume it was like getting standard gas where there's a pool, and I had no idea that hydrofracking of horizontally drilled wells, that such a process even existed, and less idea that under the 2005 Energy Act, EPA wasn't involved at all.
Now, let's talk about hydraulic fracturing, which involves millions of gallons of fluid containing water, sand, and chemicals pumped into wells at high pressure to release the oil and gas. What happens?
Well, this hydrofracking has been around for decades, but hydrofracking of horizontally drilled wells is a brand new process to New York State, which is why it's not going to go forward until DEC approves a new supplemental generic environmental impact statement. It involves millions of gallons of water per well, 3 to 8 million gallons of water. To give you an idea how much water that is, if a 3 million gallon well, 3 million gallons equals a football field about 10 feet high in water, and 30 million gallons equals a football field about 30 feet high in water, and they're proposing thousands of these. So we're not talking about a little bit of water.
Well, I've been to football games where the rain got that bad, but it does sound kind of like a lot of water.
Well, Abby, if people say millions of gallons of water, I want people to know what 10 millions of gallons of water is. It's about a, you know, football field 10 feet high in water.
For one well.
For one well.
Abby, you own almost 100 acres in central New York. How long have you lived on the property, and how do you use it?
It's just a little refuge for me from life. There's some hunting by my neighbors on it, and I pretty much just enjoy the wildlife here.
What was your initial reaction to the idea of drilling for natural gas on your property?
I think my reaction was pretty typical of everybody in the area. When the land man came and offered us $35 or $50 per acre for lease, it's not worth the value to ruin or even consider it. But now we're talking a lot more money in lease and royalties, and it's going to happen. All the land around me is already leased.
So your opinion has changed because at a certain point, there's a tipping point when you say, well, gee, now it is worth it to destroy this land, at least the look of the land?
It's not worth it to destroy the planet. That's the whole point. Now that it looks like it's going to go forward, it has to go forward, and I'd like to see it go forward in an environmentally safe way. And if we don't stand together to make sure that happens, it's going to go forward in a bad way.
Well, Jim, let's bring Jim Bays in here. You say that there's been drilling in your town of Smyrna since 2006. What's the difference between Marcellus Shale and the rock formations that drillers are exploring in your area?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Marcellus is, in fact, a shale, and there are other formations beneath central and southern tier of New York that are also shale formations. But the formation that's been targeted here has been the Herkimer sandstone in large part. And obviously the characteristics of sandstone are much different than Marcellus, the Marcellus shales and the other shales. And so there really isn't the need to do considerable hydrofracking because really what they're trying to do in the sandstone formations, we understand, is to try to find naturally occurring fissures and faults, which sort of serve as a pathway for the gas, to the wellhead.
Have you?
It's really quite different.
Have you considered allowing drilling on your 300 acres?
Actually, we have considered it. The activity really was principally by a company out of Norway, known first as Nornu. Now the parent company has assumed the letterhead Norse Energy, and they have been operating to the north of this county in a little town adjoining Smyrna, the town of Lebanon in Madison County, since about 1998. And they had had mixed results with targeting the Herkimer sandstone, and yet really it never really took off until I think the hydrofracking technology came along and made things much more lucrative for them. So when they targeted apparently this one particular formation, and it looked pretty good down this way, so they began to come into my township. And so, yes, we certainly did consider leasing. We chose not to. This is an industry that was completely foreign to us here. We really didn't have a whole lot of background information. So both as a private citizen, I felt it was important to pause. But as the town supervisor and one who, you know, obviously represents the public health and safety of our citizens first and foremost, we really took a deliberate posture here of really trying to figure it out and to, more than anything, to draw attention to the activity so that the legislators and others would begin to really zero in on this activity, recognizing that the more eyes that are watching this activity, in all likelihood, the better performance we're going to see.
Mark, Abby mentioned the landmen coming and making offers. Are they offering you a lot of money these days?
Well, my wife and I turned down $2,500 an acre.
Wait, it went up from $35 and $50 to $2,500?
Now it's up to $5,000.
Whoa.
And that's just the upfront fee. That's not the royalty, which is up to 20%.
Right.
And so we're talking about a lot of money.
County.
And, you know, and my next door neighbor signed for $25 an acre two years ago, and then it jumped to $2,500 a year and a half ago, and now it's about $5,000. But I'm not interested in signing because, frankly, $5,000 times 50 is $250,000, and the feds and the state take 40%, so I'm down to $150. I make a living. I have two kids in college off of my farm. That's not a lot of money in the long run, and I'm much more interested in protecting the water, which is my main resource. Another thing I'd like to point out is that I'm the policy chair of the Northeast Organic Farming Association of New York, as well as the policy chair of Delaware County Farm Bureau, and I drafted the policy that both New York Farm Bureau and NOFA New York have concerning the draft SGIS, which will regulate this technology. And both farming organizations, which represent almost 4 million acres of land, which dwarfs any land association, before this goes forward, we currently believe that SGIS is unprotective of agriculture, people, and the environment. And before it goes forward, both organizations would like to see a cumulative impact on the environment and human health, which is not addressed in the SGIS. We would like a ban on taking water from the aquifers for drilling. We'd like a practical system to dispose of the tens and hundreds of millions of gallons of wastewater. And we want the gas companies to be responsible for the costs of implementing the SGIS, as well as, and lastly, we want a public listing of all the chemicals that are in the fracking fluids that they're putting under the earth, because right now it's proprietary and there's no law forcing them to disclose even what the chemicals are. As a landowner, I can't protect myself if there is pollution unless I know what chemicals are in it.
Abby, you're faced
with
the same concerns. Would you be able to farm your land? Well, you don't farm your land.
No,
but
I don't farm my land. My land's just all wild and natural. It's wooded with beautiful springs on it and stuff like that. But he's right about the water. I can't even test my water right now to make sure that it doesn't get influenced by the wells being put in around me, because we don't know what to test for. We don't know the ingredients in the fracking fluid. But what we're proposing as coalitions in the area, if they drill, we want them to do a closed loop so that so much water isn't released and the water is reused over and over again, and hopes to save the amount of water used in our aquifers and that that much more chemicals don't go in the ground.
Jim, we, as you mentioned earlier, you wear two hats in this debate. You have to balance your responsibilities as the town supervisor of Smyrna with your concerns as a local farmer. Well, first of all, could you farm your land?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree, both as a citizen as well as a public official. I agree with a number of the concerns that have been raised here. Certainly a closed-loop system, something that would guarantee that what comes up is captured and secured and treated. To me, that is something that's critically important, and I think it would go a long way to allay certain fears. But I mean, there are just so many issues from a public standpoint, particularly from a public official standpoint, that we have to look at both the tax implications and what that all means. We have highway degradation issues. We obviously have the environmental concerns. But I think we also have to reflect back just for a moment to recognize that this is an industry that enjoyed four key exemptions from four key pieces of environmental legislation. You know, clean air, clean water, the hazardous waste disposal regulations, as well as the National Environmental Protection Act, which is the umbrella environmental statute in the country. So, I mean, out of the box, this is an industry that was given an awful lot of room to maneuver, and so they've begun to do that. So I think in many ways they've taken advantage of the opportunities that have been presented to them. But, you know, just as was touched on before, you know, in many cases we set neighbor up against neighbor. Communities are trying to deal with this issue, and so we're looking, those of us that are active in the public side of this are trying to find ways to be able to standardize certain protocols and practices, standardize perhaps some local ordinances to protect ourselves. I mean, in fact, bottom line for, it seems to me, for public officials is exactly what you said, which is to balance the safety and health and the environmental concerns that we have with the economic development potential around this industry. But clearly, there are many of us that feel that that we're lax in terms of regulation and oversight. And
have any of your constituents come to you and said, you know, I signed a deal for $25 an acre or $50 an acre, and now my neighbor is getting $5,000. What rights do I have here?
Once a week.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I would say all the time.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, this is, you know, the Attorney General's office in New York, I think, has done a very good job of at least letting these companies know that they're watching and watching closely. They held a series of conferences around the state to help inform the public in terms of the kinds of ethical disclosures and ethical approaches that we need to have with our landmen. Many of us believe that there should be a registration or a certification or a licensing of these agents. They really are acting just as if they're realtors and real estate agents. And so there are so many areas that need attention. In fact, this morning we convened our monthly Natural Gas Committee meeting in Norwich, in our county seat, and we discussed so many matters. And it seems an endless number of issues that continue to pop up in front of our committee.
My guests are Jim Bays, a farmer and town supervisor of Smyrna, Abby Tamber, a landowner from the town of Preston. Both of them are in Chenango County, and Mark Donow, who's an organic farmer from Hancock in Delaware County. And we will continue our conversation about gas drilling. Well, we will be losing some gas drilling upstate after we take a little break. We're back with our discussion about gas drilling upstate with Mark Donow, Abby Tamber, and Jim Bays. And Mark, you mentioned your concerns about water rights, but you say there are three things that you're really concerned about: water rights, the Pew Clause, and the fact that leases can be assigned to anyone. Can we go over them quickly?
Yeah, sure. The Pew Clause, listen, a standard lease does not have pew clause protection, and a purely property rights issue. When you sign a 5-year lease, say on 100 acres, what you are actually doing is you are giving the gas company 5 years to develop gas on your property. If you don't have pew clause protection, if they develop 1 acre out of those 100 acres in those 5 years, they have locked up those 100 acres for their purposes as long as they're producing any gas whatsoever. If you have pew clause protection, if they've developed only 1 acre over 5 years, the mineral rights to the other 99 acres revert back to you. That is the ball game. And the landowner groups that Abby is working with, they're absolutely right that every landowner and every lease has to have that. That is not only the owner, the lessee's protection, that's their neighbor's protection as well, because if things are going badly, at least the acreage that hasn't been developed, they can pull out. The other piece is a lot of people sign leases where at the end they can have as many protections as they want in the lease, but if at the end it says we have the right to assign this lease to any other corporation without your signature, that means they can assign it to a corporation with no assets, and the contract is absolutely not worth it's not worth the paper it's written on. The only time you should ever be able to assign a lease is with the permission of the landowner, with the signature of the landowner. And another piece that I brought this up quickly before is I am most worried about my property because I am surrounded by 60,000 acres, which went under lease by XTO, which is now owned by Exxon for a $31 billion deal. And those people not only leased their gas rights, they leased their water rights. And if people start taking water out of the aquifer around me, my pond will no longer irrigate my fields, and my pump probably will not have water to, you know, feed my thirst. And so that's why New York Farm Bureau and Northern New York strongly support banning taking water from aquifers, because you cannot measure aquifers, and almost all the aquifers in New York State are very fragile.
Abby, let's talk about the group that you're on the steering committee of, the Central New York Landowners Coalition.
Right.
How many land coalitions are there in the state? Did they start forming
the state,
because of this?
Right now, there's a joint coalition that has all our local coalitions belonging to it, and there are 22 member coalitions to that. And it's growing daily because the concern and the word is getting out that this is going to happen. Right now, I know of a new group that is forming locally to me. They've not been aware of what's going on until the land man showed up on their doorstep. And now they're concerned, and they're forming a new coalition. So this number is going to grow until, you know, everybody is aware of what's going on. The lease is the most important part that a coalition can do, and our coalition has made sure that Mark's concerns are all addressed in our leases. And our motto is to get out, to educate, negotiate, and conserve. We want all those points to be made. It's very important that we educate even people that are not in our coalition to what is going on.
Jim, you're the town supervisor of Smyrna. Have you seen a major impact of the gas drilling in your area and neighboring towns?
Well, we certainly have seen some highway degradation. The township to the north, I think,
22.
In round numbers, the town of Lebanon in Madison County, I think they experienced roughly $650,000 worth of highway damage that the natural gas company that is active there was able to take care of. They
now, why do we have that damage? Heavy trucks?
Well, what you have, these are obviously rural roads. These are not, you know, some of them are built on shale. Some of them are not gravel-based, and so they're just not capable of supporting the kind of weights that some of these rigs and some of the big water trucks carry. And so you see, especially this time of year where you have the natural freeze and thaw taking place, where roads are sort of heaving in places, you know, those problems can be certainly accentuated by the heavier traffic. And so what we've done, and I think the responsible approach on the municipal level, is to conduct what we have done, which is a road assessment survey, where you essentially go out and you make sure that you know the condition of your road. You take pictures, and then some months later, particularly if it's an area that's particularly busy traffic, you can get an assessment. And frankly, that we've been advised that that's how we might be successful in seeking retribution or seeking
restitution,
some kind of repair of the highway. So, yeah, and I also wanted to say that both Mark and Abby are raising very important points. The Pew Clause is critically important. It's this whole issue of the fact that the companies have had a great deal of room, it seems to me, to maneuver, and we need oversight. That's what we have tried to do here between myself and the supervisors to the north and the town of Lebanon. As this play, and this is what it's referred to as, this play is happening, this Herkimer play, that we're educating folks. And quite frankly, 4 years ago, there weren't a lot of people like Mark and Abby that were tuned in as well as they are to this whole phenomenon. So clearly, there's certainly more public attention and more scrutiny that's happening, more oversight from the public's point of view, and that's a good thing, too.
Well, you said that the drilling companies are willing to pay for road repairs, but if they weren't, I'd imagine that the cost of road repairs would have a tremendous effect on your town budget. What about drill rig fires? Have you had any of those?
We actually did. We actually had an explosion, a fairly small explosion, fortunately, at one of the rigs on New Year's Eve, as a matter of fact, a year ago. That was caused, they thought, by some pressure
Bridge
that had
fire.
Been released around a casing, and apparently blew a rock, a small stone, up and hit a fluorescent bulb, which created a spark, and there were enough fumes in the area that it created a small explosion and a rig fire. Fortunately, no one was severely burned. We did have a couple of folks with second-degree burns. But, again, this is something from a municipal standpoint that we have to be very concerned about. These are not fires that we're familiar with out here. You know, our people need to be trained, and we need to have master maps, and we need to know where there are shutoff valves. We need to have a protocol established. And in fact, we've been able to do that where, essentially now the local fire departments here just secure the perimeter and wait for the well experts to get there. But these are all issues that, these townships, these municipalities have never faced before, and it's quite a burden.
I'm talking with Jim Bays, a farmer and the town supervisor of Smyrna in Chenango County. Also in Chenango in the town of Preston is Abby Tambor. And Mark Dunno is an organic farmer from Hancock in Delaware County. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Abby, what impact has the drilling in your area had on property values? I've heard that in some areas, banks are reluctant to finance properties with leases or wells on them.
Actually, real estate right now in the area is at a standstill. People don't know what to ask for their land, and people aren't willing to buy land that's already leased. Or they're worried I can't sell my house because I'm surrounded by leases, so they don't know how that will affect my land. I would sell it as a hunting lodge, and I can't because if it's ruined by drilling, nobody wants to buy it. So everything's at a standstill in the real estate market, unless there are some people that are buying up houses now and just leasing the land and hoping that they strike big and can make money off their land. But we want to make sure, what I want to emphasize here is our coalition has a lease that also implies that if newer technologies come along, and there are developing newer technologies that are safer, using natural gas to frack instead of water, which would save our aquifers, we have to keep pushing and keep looking into the newer technologies. And we can't let the gas companies just come in and do what they are comfortable doing.
But, Mark, proponents of gas drilling say New York State has the strongest environmental protections of any state with mining activity. Are you concerned that the Department of Environmental Conservation, or DEC, won't be able to do its job?
Well, DEC Union, which is Union Shop, which represents all the, which is pretty representative of DEC's opinion when they commented on the SGIS. They said, please, Governor Patterson, do not issue any regulations for at least a year because we are unprepared for this and we have a long history of screwing up our environment by going too fast. So I would suggest that the members of DEC, the union members of DEC, the staff involved in protecting us, themselves don't think they're prepared.
Jim, in your experience, have current regulations of the oil and gas industry in New York State been effective?
No, I wouldn't really call them effective. I know they've been helpful, but I think that there's a great deal of room for improvement. I think there are many practices and protocols from the moment they step into a township that should be adjusted. We could look at possibly community compensation packages or benefit packages. We really made that attempt here with Norse when they came to Smyrna 4 years ago, 5 years ago. We sat with them in the early days. They told us that they really wanted a partnership with us, that they were going to be very forthright and share information. And we told them that was critical to us, that we really needed to understand what they were proposing to do. And we also told them that we would be ready to help them distinguish themselves from among their peers. If they really wanted to have a good public relations campaign here, we'd help them do it. Unfortunately, they chose to go a different direction.
How much leverage do you have as a town supervisor in working with these gas companies?
Well, the regulations, the two areas that you do have some control over are through the highway and through taxes. And certainly in terms of fees, permit fees and those kinds of things, road bonds and those kinds of things, you can control, and you can do some things on the local level. But you also have to be careful that you're not discriminating as well. We have heavy log trucks and dairy trucks and other big equipment that goes through the countryside. And so you have to be fair and balanced. But I think there's a great deal of room for improvement. I do think they're better. I think things have gotten better over the course of the 4 years or so. But my great concern is what comes up. I've always been concerned about that. I completely agree with Abby about that. That it's one thing to inject mostly water or chemicals or whatever down thousands of feet. It's another thing, to not contain and control what comes back up, because certain of those things are not naturally occurring at the surface. I think there are a great deal of protocols and practices at the wellhead that should be adjusted. But to get back to the point that Mark was making, no, DEC has said right along that they weren't ready for this. They weren't ready for the play, the increased activity, and certainly they've been understaffed in the Minerals Division for some time. And ramping up is not going to happen overnight. So I have concerns about that as well.
Well, what about the economic benefits from gas drilling in your area? It means new jobs, doesn't it? It increases the tax base?
Well, frankly, I'm proud of the fact that we're one of the few counties that has put together an ad hoc special county committee for natural gas. We did this 2 years ago, and that's one of the main reasons we did this, is so that we could see what kind of, what were the activities, what were the things where we could grow some jobs, and at the same time to be able to review, add weight to constructive criticism and helpful suggestions toward the state in terms of the GEIS. And so, I think that this county has really done a pretty good job of doing that. But it's, again, this is a regional issue, and one of the challenges, it seems to me, is to try to make sure that we're all on the same page. This morning we had guests in from Otsego County, which is the where Cooperstown is, and those folks were in, some elected representatives, to glean and to gain as much knowledge as they could from us. And frankly, they're about where we were 3 years ago, where leases are just starting to be signed over there in places, and they're really just trying to get their arms around this whole phenomenon. It's, as I said before, there are so many issues, related issues, to the exploration and drilling activities, from taxation issues to highway to environmental. There's just a host of issues, a seemingly endless list of things that we could and probably should focus on.
Well, Mark, I would have guessed from what you've said that you would be in support of a ban on gas drilling upstate, but you're not.
No, I don't support a ban, because I don't support putting my political energies into something where there's no representatives supporting a ban, or maybe two. in a dysfunctional legislature, and we don't have referendum in this state. Believe me, we don't have referendum in this state. So who am I appealing to? What I'm appealing to is to, like, we have a DEC who's there because the New York State has discovered over the decades that unbridled corporate greed is not the best thing for the body politic, and I'm trying to use the laws that we have on hand to go slowly and slowly and extremely safely. And, you know, New York Farm Bureau is not an environmentally, you know, crazed leftist group. When New York Farm Bureau says we need a cumulative impact statement on the health and environment of numerous gas wells, that is not in the SGIS. All that DEC so far has proposed is regulations for one gas well at a time. No impact of what thousands of gas wells will be on the environment or health. And in the six-page SGIS, the reason for that is he said we can't handle the information. Well, I think that's a really, really bad way to make a proposal. We won't deal with it because we can't handle it. If your child told you that, you would just sit him in the corner and say, think about it.
Abby, we're pretty much out of time, but I wanted to ask Abby about the other people in her coalition. Do you think whether they support unconventional gas drilling or not comes down to how much risk you're willing to take measured against the potential reward?
I think that's true to some extent. I think our coalition, and I've been corrected, there are 38, not 22 coalitions now in the joint coalition. Our concern still is the environment. We'd like to see the drilling go forward to help the economics of the area. And it is a risky game, but we're trying to weigh it on the side of the ecology. It's very important that we have water. It's very important to a lot of these families in the area, the farm families that have had farms in the family for generations upon generations, and they want to be able to hand the farm over to their children and their children's children. And we can't do that without water. And everything else that's not being taken in account, I don't know that either Mark or Jim mentioned, you know, air pollution, noise pollution. We want to make sure all those things are kept in check, because this, as far as I can see, it's going to happen.
And impact on view sheds, Abby. You know,
yes.
I mean, this is a pristine area,
Yes.
You know, there are certain view shed impacts. There's no question.
View sheds and food sheds, for that matter.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, you know, the land coalitions are very important in getting, you know, protective leases, but we have hundreds, tens of thousands, actually probably close to 250,000 acres that are already under very bad leases.
True.
And what we, that's why New York State getting the SGIS correct is important for all of us. We have 25 million people, about 10 million people in the New York City area and 15 million people in Pennsylvania and in Philadelphia and New Jersey and Delaware are counting on us to get this right. Because right now out in Pennsylvania, we have the Wild West is out there, and so far they've been doing nothing, the gas companies, but messing up. And we have no reason to believe they can get it right unless we have a strong regulatory framework.
We have to leave it there, but I want to thank all of you so much for talking with us. Mark Donohoe is an organic vegetable farmer from Hancock in Delaware County. Abby Tamber is a landowner in the town of Preston in Chenango County. Also in Chenango is Jim Bays, a farmer and the town supervisor of Smyrna. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.